church. Are you ready to worship God? Let's stand to our feet. Father, in the name of Jesus, we declare and decree your grace over our worship today. Your grace over the word going forth. Your grace over our giving. Grace, grace, grace. We thank you, Lord. We come into your presence with thanksgiving and in your courts with praise this day. In Jesus' name.
Yeah. search the world. We'll be right back. there's nothing better than you. There is nothing better than you. There is nothing, nothing is better than you. Jesus, there's nothing better than you. There is nothing better than you. There is nothing, nothing is better than you. You're the Word of the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High, hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. We'll be right back.
There's power in your name. There's power in your name.
At the mention of your name, Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. You're highly exalted in this place today. And we give you all the glory and all the honor that you deserve, King Jesus. Now, Holy Spirit, we invite you this morning to enlighten the eyes of our understanding that we might see. Anoint our ears that we might hear what you're speaking to the church in this hour. And Lord, you said if we would purpose to draw near to you, you would draw near to us. So we expect your presence this day. In Jesus' name. Look at your neighbor and say, what a wonderful name. Jesus. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning, Harvest Church. I was asked to do the announcements this morning, but Caleb is not with me, so that's probably a good thing because you don't want to probably hear what he has to say. You know how the last announcements we did together went. So, happy St. Patrick's Day. He did some research on St. Patrick, so I'm just going to read a little bit about St. Patrick. He wasn't Irish. He was British or Welsh. He was taken by Celtic raiders when he was a boy, made a slave and a sheep herder. It is said he heard the audible voice of God while praying and tending a flock of sheep. The voice said, "Your ship has been made ready." And shortly after that, he was able to escape from slavery back to his homeland. While back, his heart was stirred to return to Ireland and the pagan people. After visitation from the angel, Patrick returned to Ireland and was an apostle for Christ, saving thousands and helped bring the gospel of Christianity to Ireland. Legends say he casted all the snakes from Ireland. While this is legend, it may point to demons he cast out while preaching to the pagan peoples, and it even reported he prayed and raised several people from the dead. So, if this is not correct, you can go to Caleb because I did not write this. Also, another fact for St. Patrick's Day is people will say, oh, you have corned beef and cabbage. Actually, the tradition is corned pork, not corned beef. So, another little tidbit. Anyways, okay, on to announcements. This week, our marriage conference seminar, however you want to say it, is happening Friday and Saturday. Friday, 6:30 to 9:30. So Pastor Chris and Jesse from Kearney, they're going to be coming up and doing a lot of content on marriage and Song of Songs they're going to be teaching on. So Friday, 6:30 to 9:30. Saturday, 9 to noon. There's no main meal, but there will be snacks and refreshments. Saturday morning, we'll have breakfast and coffee and juice and stuff. So there will be food, just not meals. So if you have not signed up for that, we encourage you to do so. You can never invest too much in your marriage. Also, the stronger you are as a married couple, or if you are not quite married yet, the stronger you are, the harder it is for Satan to get in between you and destroy you and then your family and so on and so forth. So never can invest too much into your marriage. Friday, March 29th, 7 p.m. is a Good Friday service that we're going to be having. It is going to be our communion service, a little more intimate time with the Lord. So that is Friday, March 29th. And then Sunday, March 31st, is our Easter service. You probably noticed there were some postcard handouts on your chairs this morning. We try to do this when we have bigger services or events coming up, and so you can either use that to remind yourself that Easter is coming, or you can hand it out to a friend or a coworker or whatever the case may be and invite them to our Easter service. We always love to have especially new people hear the word of God, especially on an Easter service. So if you have people to invite, we would love to have them. That is 10 a.m., same time as we always have our service on Sunday. So, and then lastly, I would just like to touch, I know we mentioned this a while back, but on Friday, April 19th at 7 p.m., so Lord of Hosts do a conference in the fall for everybody. This one is, they've been doing a couple years now, is just for women. So if you're interested, Lord of Hosts do this, and it's at the Council Bluffs, just like the fall one. It's in the big arena. So if you are interested in that, Amy, you've went, correct? And Kayla and Courtney. So if you have any questions or you would like to know more about it, either I think Facebook or online has it, or you can talk to any of those people who have went. But that is Friday, April 19th.
We are doing things a little different today because we are under grace and not under works. So we're going to receive this morning's tithes and offerings, and then I've got another announcement. But before we receive the offering, let me share with you a few things. So this is the book that we're using for the Bible study. And there's no way in 6 weeks we can cover every chapter in this book. So there's some chapters we won't be covering. One of them is on communion. And so if you come on Friday, Good Friday, we aren't covering that chapter in Bible studies, but you will get information on communion that night. Well, another chapter we are not going to be doing, actually it's a couple chapters, is on finances. And in the back, starting with chapter 20, it talks about Christ's new covenant on giving. And so the next few weeks, I'm going to take some information from this if you want to follow along and read that. But the scripture that it starts out with is in Luke 6:38. It says, "Give, and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will it be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." And he talks about in this, if you understand, there are laws of the universe. We talk about gravity being a law of the universe. A spiritual law of the universe is the law of reciprocity. In other words, what it talked about in the scripture, if you give, there's a law that it will be given back to you. Not just finances, but anything, positive or negative. If you're a jerk and treat people nasty, probably that law of reciprocity is going to come back on you. But if you're merciful to people or friendly with people, then you're going to receive friendship and mercy. Well, it's the same thing with finances. What you give is going to come back eventually. Might not come back tomorrow, might not be next week, but it will. It's a law that it's going to happen. And people don't see that. And so we need to understand that and have faith that when we do give, we're giving just to get back, but because we're stewards of what God has given us. And that's what he talks about in here. So we're going to talk about that in the next few weeks. So if you have your tithes and offerings, ushers, you can go ahead and receive this morning's tithes and offerings. While you're doing that, I'm going to share a couple other things with you. Ushers, when you're done, you might want to just stay in here so you get this announcement also. So as they do that, let me just read that scripture to you one more time. Get it in our hearts. The word never comes back void or empty. Give and it'll be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. With the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. So while they're doing that, I'll go ahead and start. So this week, this coming Wednesday will be week 3 of our Bible study. And this is a 6-week Bible study, so you'll be almost halfway through. Now, we had purposes when we decided to do this Bible study. We didn't just do it for the heck of it. There was a reason, some reasons for doing it. One of them was to get ourselves out of a box, and I think it's done that. It's gotten people out of the box. It's made us press in a little. It has made us look at things differently and have a different attitude towards that. In Ephesians, let me read you in Ephesians chapter 4, Where did I lose it? Ephesians chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. It says, for the equipping, he gave himself some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, some pastors, and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and be in the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of man in the cunning of craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love. So one of the reasons, if you understand the scripture, there's a scripture that talks about in the end times, many people are going to be deceived. But if you understand good, sound doctrine, it decreases that likelihood. So one of the reasons we have this Bible study is so that we can get all on the same page and make an attempt and an effort to understand good, sound doctrine. And so it talks about that in verse 14, that we shouldn't be children no longer tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. And then it goes back in verse 13, it says, till we all come to the unity. We want to be a unified body. We want to be unified. We've talked about how we need, as going forward, we need to love one another more and more and understand one another. And as we do that, as we get all on the same page doctrinally, it should help us come to unity. But one of the primary purposes for this Bible study was fellowship. And as we get to know one another and get to know one another's hearts, it should help us to be more unified. So those are some of the reasons that we are doing this. Now, I understand that some of these scriptures or some of these chapters have been pretty meaty. And one of the things, and we knew when we did the Bible study, we were going to have to tweak some things as we went. And so one of the things that some of the people have been frustrated with is that it's been a little difficult to discuss some of this. Some of that is because it's so meaty. But this week, if you're coming to the Bible study, this week's, we have two chapters, and I know two is a lot for one week, but we are under grace. So this week's chapters are chapter 10 and chapter 11, and they are on grace. I love chapter 10. That was so far the best chapter of the whole one for me, because it talks about the difference between grace and works. And so Mike's been doing questions, and some people I've noticed are just really caught up in those questions. He just did that to help you study it. I mean, it's not law. But I did some questions this week to discuss, to try to open up some discussion. And so I'm going to give you a hint on one of them so you can think about it between now and Wednesday. When you've been at these Bible studies, are you coming with an attitude more of works or of grace? Because when you do something by works, it just is a killjoy. It's no fun. And life should be fun. And I have a Monroe story. I think everybody needs a Monroe story. This was kind of a rough week for some of you, so we'll just do this Monroe story. So I'm from Monroe, down the road there. A rough little area between Platt Center and Monroe and Duncan. But we lived by grace and not by works. And I grew up by grace. My mom was an expert at grace because she had to live with me and my dad. So, some people get very into works as far as schooling. And I believe in education. I believe in diligence and discipline. But grades never made a hill of beans of difference to me. I didn't care. For one thing, it was just too boring to have to sit still. I've got nods. I know there are people with me. But I am a task person and I like goals. So my junior year, my goal was to see if I could set a school record of how many times I got kicked out of class. I killed it. So Monroe is so small, was so small. We had an office for the superintendent, the principal, and the secretary. All together, one room. It was no bigger than this stage. And on one side, there were three closets where they kept all the school supplies. But I knew my friend and I, the friend that helped me put saran wrap on the toilet, we knew, because we were aware of things, that on fourth period, the period right before lunch, the superintendent taught a class, the principal taught a class, and the secretary went home for lunch so that she could be back if anybody needed anything during the lunch period. So there was nobody in the office at that time. So if we got kicked out of fourth period class, then there was nobody there to and reinforce anything, so we could just leave school and go to the Monroe Tavern for an early lunch and beat the crowd. So we made a habit of that. But one week, there were some people that were, there were a few people really caught up in works. And they were just really adamant about good grades. And there was one lady, and they lived down in a poor farm between Monroe and Duncan. I mean, that's kind of wild country back there, if you've ever been back there. And probably she was so adamant about education because she wanted her kids to get an education and get the heck out of there. But she had two twins that were a few years younger than me, and she was just, she had to just get A pluses for everything. And a couple weeks prior to this incident, one of the girls got an A instead of an A plus or something. And she just had a holy fit about it. So, taking that into consideration, one of these fourth periods, when nobody was in the office, my friend and I went in and we found the downslips. You know what a downslip is? It's what they fill out about mid-semester if you're failing the class or not doing well, and they list the reasons why. So we found those, we found the school envelopes, we found the stamps, and we went to the school typewriter and typed out five or six down slips for these kids. And for these two girls, these twins, you know, we talked about they weren't applying themselves, they weren't getting their homework done, they were failing tests. And I don't know, we probably just scribbled a signature that nobody could read, and then we typed up the envelope to their parents, their address, put the stamps on them, and left for lunch at the Monroe Tavern. And, of course, the post office is right by the Monroe Tavern, so we mailed it, mailed them. And about 2 days later, there was a volcanic explosion down between Monroe and Duncan. This lady just got lit up. I mean, there are still screech marks on that county road of her heading to school to rip out every teacher, principal, administrator, everybody, and they never found out who did it. except the school secretary, who is still a very good friend of mine. She had a good clue. Anyway, I say all this to say that. Lighten up. Yeah, we need to lighten up sometimes. We need to have a good time. We need to enjoy life, and works steals our joy. But God had grace on me. Nobody found out who did that. God's, and it was, the nice thing about Monroe was when something like that happened, everybody knew, and everybody loved it, and it brought joy to the community. Nothing brought joy to the community like the saran wrap thing. But anyway, when you come to these Bible studies, don't get so legalistic about, I have to answer every question right. Come, if you get one thing out of that lesson, I've never really understood grace. How can human mind really understand the grace of God? But this scripture, this chapter helped me. So I just encourage you, take a deep breath, read it, get what you can, ask God to show you what you need to know, and enjoy life a little. Enjoy the Bible study, enjoy the fellowship, and realize that if you don't get every question right, you still get a piece of pie.
So if we're on your grace, then you want to close the prayer?
No. He'll be graceful to you and keep it short, okay? Anyway, that's what I had to say. That's my announcement for the Bible study.
Everyone say, thank God.
If you just think about me being a pastor's wife for 40 years, if you'd have known me when I was a kid, that's grace.
That's why early in our marriage, every marriage has issues, but it was difficult because I was going to Rhema and I was spiritual. You know, I was the religious one. And I was works and she was grace. Amen. We're going to start things different today. I'm not going to minister my series. I unhooked from that because the last few months I've had a word and I want to address it today in light of all that's going on in the world. But today I want to open up with this video. So if you would be so good to play this for me, please. Make sure it's up so they can hear it. It's not very long. Hey man, that's probably good enough. You know what animal that is? It's a hyena. They were plentiful in Israel in ancient days, and the Hebrews hated them because they were scavengers, they were unclean, and they ate dead animals. And you notice the demonic-sounding laughter. Well, this week, I don't remember, but Beth got a hold of Kathy and told her she had a dream. So I'm going to have her share this dream.
And it's actually the other side of Pastor Kathy's story from a teacher's point of view. No, I'm just kidding. But, I've been a teacher for 22 years, and the last two weeks have been two of the hardest weeks I've had. Just a bombardment of just different situations that I've had to go through that I've never really had to deal with before. And it just, something happened, and then something else happened, and then something else happened, and it just was like a bombardment. And at night when I wanted to go to bed, it was like a war in my head, me trying to cast down thoughts, but then the thoughts kept coming, and bombardment is the right word for that. So it was easy to be worried. It was easy to lose sleep. But my dream was, it wasn't my house, but I was in my backyard with Caleb and Ben, my sons, and they were little, and there was a field in the back, and it was corn or tall grass, but hyenas started to come out of the field, and the boys and I were up in their play fort, and these hyenas were jumping up trying to get us. I wasn't afraid in the dream at all, so it wasn't about fear, but these hyenas were jumping, and I knew they were going to figure out how to get up that slide. So I took the boys, and we ran to the back patio glass door, got in the house, but the hyenas got in the house too. So I went to my kitchen, and I got what I believe was a double-barrel shotgun, and I was loading shells into the gun, and I would shoot at the hyenas, and I would hit them, but they wouldn't die. And again, I wasn't afraid of the dream. They weren't actually, like, in the house. They weren't attacking us, but they were there. But I couldn't shoot them. And a couple days later, when I would just think about this dream, and it seems so easy now, but a couple days later, I heard with my spiritual ears that I am not to fight spiritual battles with natural weapons. And that's actually 2 Corinthians 10:4, that the weapons we fight with are not weapons of this world. And just like you saw in the video, hyenas are animals that continue to harass, just like I was getting harassed in my thought life. And I've had to put down my thoughts. I have to stand on God's word and make a conscious effort not to figure things out in my own mind, but use the word of God and the authority that pastor's been preaching on. And Pastor Kathy, I'm going to share the verse you gave me. That was a good one, from Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So we are victorious, and I hope that encourages you if you're going through anything similar, that stand on the word of God and use your authority that Pastor's been preaching to us.
If you want to look in your Bibles to Psalms 27, how many of you are following along or are aware of the fact that there's a comet that's going to come across this nation April 8th? Let me see your hands. Let me see your hands if you don't understand, if you never heard what I'm talking about. A few of you. Okay. Eclipse, but there is going to be a comet. It's just unbelievable. I encourage you to go on YouTube, and there is a lot on YouTube about this, but you got to be careful who you listen to, because it's not the end of the world, folks. Troy Brewer is probably the best. Everyone say Troy Brewer. So if you want, it's about a 30-minute thing. He's a cowboy from Texas. In fact, what he does, he rescues children that have been trafficked. He's done that for years. He's a musician. He's very prophetic. He's standing on the stage with a suit and tie. He just doesn't look right because he's a cowboy. But listen to him, and it'll give you some perspective on this eclipse. It's unbelievable. In fact, Psalm 19 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork." Amen. So I encourage you to do that. I want to share with you this morning on the subject of trouble. Everyone say trouble. My wife was always in trouble. I want you to look at Psalms 27. And I guess I entitled this message, "Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled." And I'm probably going to have to go through this fairly quick. I'm going to read scriptures, but you can take notes. Psalms 27, this is King David, and he says this: "The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear." Say it. My heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I've desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Verse 5. For in the time of trouble, say it, in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock, verse 6, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. David was in trouble a lot, especially before he became king. David created a lot of his own problems later. But whenever he got into trouble, who'd he run to? The Lord. Now, trouble in the Bible, this word trouble, these facts are interesting. The phrase "day of trouble" is found 12 times. "Time of trouble," 14 times. There are 75 psalms dealing with trouble. So it's scriptural. 10 human parts affected by trouble. I'm not going to read. You can denote it. Read Psalm 102. Trouble will affect your body. Okay? Your voice, your emotions, your feelings, your heart, your appetite, your memory, your skin, your eyes, your tear ducts, and your strength. Isn't that kind of interesting? Yeah, it is. Daniel chapter 4 and verse 19, it says, then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for a time, and his thoughts troubled him. Say that. Thoughts troubled him. Now, that word trouble in the Hebrew means frightened him. How many of you ever had some thoughts that frightened you? Now, I'm not a doom and gloom person. But I do believe this year is going to be an opportunity to deal with some thoughts. Because I really believe there are going to be some events in this nation that's going to shake you to your core. But when you have God, and you have the Lord Jesus as your Savior, your Deliverer, you don't need to be afraid. Amen. So what I'm sharing today is not to create fear in you. It's to encourage you. Amen? Now, it says, for in the time of trouble, in Psalms 27, in the time of trouble, that word trouble in the Hebrew is evil. Say evil. 400 times in the Bible, it is used. And it's the Hebrew word raw, R-A, which means evil, worthless, noxious, harmful, hurtful, sad, and sorrowful. It denotes depravity and wickedness. And this is the one I thought it was interesting. Noise. Evil creates noise. We got a lot of people in Washington, D.C. creating noise. They're evil. Amen? Would you agree with that? Now, here's some causes of trouble. Sin. That's a no-brainer. Amen? Bad news. Your health. Your mouth. Can your mouth get you in trouble? Yes, it can. Wars. Trials. Political upheaval. Are we seeing that today? Are we seeing that in this city? Sure. Domestic issues, and then finally, those hyenas, demonic attacks. All right? Now, look at John chapter 12. John chapter 12. I want you to see, trouble is in the Bible. It's scriptural. But I want you to know you're in good company because your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ had to deal with trouble. The Apostle Paul dealt with trouble. Look at John chapter 12 and verse 27. This is where Jesus predicts his death on the cross. And it says, Jesus, these are the words of Jesus, now my soul is what? Troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. See, when you have a purpose, you'll get through trouble. If you don't have a purpose for your life, trouble will envelop you and take over. But if you know who you are and you know what you're called to do, bless God, nothing's going to stop you. See, it's an attitude that you have to develop. So here Jesus, did he know why he was sent? Sure he was. He knew who he was. Now, this word troubled in the Greek is teresso. It means to shake. It means to unsettle. It means to agitate. It means, I like this one the best, to perplex. I've been perplexed most of my life. Especially with what goes on right now. Perplexed. It means to cause anxiety or feelings of grief and confusion. That's what this word in the Greek means. Look at John 14. We're talking about you being in good company, me being in good company. If you feel like you've been attacked and you're agitated, you're perplexed, there's some confusion. John 14, verse 1, this is what Jesus said. Let not your heart... We always use this at funerals. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. How many believe in God? Let not your heart be troubled. Believe also in me. Amen. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Now look at verse 27. We hear it again. Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The Amplified says it this way, stop allowing yourselves to be agitated. Yeah, it's tough sometimes. Stop allowing yourself to be agitated and disturbed, and do not permit yourself to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. Now, I want you to look at this verse. This is interesting. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled. What's the next part? You being troubled opens the door to fear. You being agitated and concerned and worried and anxious about what's going on right now, all that does is open the door to fear. I want you to see that. So you've got to nail it. In the beginning, if those thoughts, those hyenas start coming around and that you hear that howling laughter, just don't open the door. My only concern is, where was he? He wasn't in. What were you doing? You're supposed to defend your family. I'm disappointed. But I'll tell you what, you talk about confusion. There's a lot of confusion going on right now in the community. Political stuff. And if you didn't get a chance to hear his interview, how many heard what he had to say? How many did not hear his interview? You need to hear it. I don't know how we can find out. He went to the school board. I can't tell you what he said. But you need to listen, because he addressed this issue of pornography in the school system. Whose idea was that to get you up there? Did you just have that and go to Cami or what? Yep. See, that's part of being a believer in these last days, is standing up. Amen. Addressing the issue. So, the negative emotions that I just mentioned can open the door to fear. That word here, let not your heart, be afraid. This is what it means in the Greek. It means a gripping fear or dread that produces a shrinking back or cowardice. Cowardice. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound, disciplined mind. That's the same Greek word that Paul used to address Timothy in dealing with his fear. He's basically saying this, Timothy, don't be a coward. You're awful quiet. Timothy, don't be a coward. Harvest Church, don't be a coward. He wasn't a coward. He got up and addressed the school board. And he did it in a very gracious way. Because I know both sides of Abe. And that was the good side. His words were gracious words. He was very respectful of those in authority. But he didn't shrink back. I'm speaking to you, Harvest Church, today. Get some backbone. Because you're going to need it. Mark my words. What are you going to do when they start attacking me in this church? You going to run? Are you going to defend me? You're going to defend your pastor? Your leadership? I'll guarantee you what he said the other day. Then he went on, they did a podcast, 45-minute podcast. You should hear some of the stupid replies he got. Talk to him. He'll tell you. That's what you need to listen to. Don't be a coward. What church do you go to? Harvest Church? What do you believe there? We believe in speaking in tongues.
Oh, that's of the devil.
Coward. God, you're quiet today. I hope it's sinking in. I pray every week it does. David in 1 Samuel 17, young David, the teenager, going to take care of Goliath. This is David's attitude. It says, David ran toward the army of the Philistines. He didn't run from them. He ran to them. We need believers in the days ahead. They're going to run to their giants and their problems and not run from them. Amen? Look at 2 Corinthians. I know this kind of a serious thing, but with what's coming down the pike here in the days ahead, no matter what happens, I'm telling you today, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Trouble leads to, troubling thoughts leads to fear. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, this is the Apostle Paul, verse 8. For we do not want you to be ignorant, Harvest Church, of our trouble, everyone say trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. This is one time Paul thought he was going to die. Yes, we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. What an attitude. Well, kill me. Just raise me up. Who delivered us from so great a death, does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. Say, my God will deliver me. Amen. Now, that word for trouble is tribulation. It's thlipsis, T-H-L-I-P-S-I-S in the Greek. It means pressure, oppression, stress, anguish. Should I keep going? Adversity, affliction, crushing, squashing, squeezing. How many ever felt like that? Sure, we all have. The word is used of crushing grapes or olives in a press. Let me read to you. Find 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So you're in good company. If you think you've got troubles, I wanted to find that one, and I thought it'd be too much for... Because I grew up with Hee-Haw. How many remember Hee-Haw? Gloom, despair, agony on me. That's what a lot of Christians are singing right now. It shouldn't be that way. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And look at verse 1. And then I'm going to read it to you from the Amplified. This again is Paul. It says, now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you think he's coming back soon? Oh, yeah, I do. And our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter. Now, here, basically, they were all upset, this church, because they thought they were told the resurrection had already taken place. I mean... It at all, not the resurrection, but the coming back of the Lord Jesus Christ, the day of the Lord. But what they were dealing with was false teaching. But this is what Paul is saying. Don't be shaken in mind or troubled. That's a good word. That means in the Greek, well, let me read it to you, the Amplified. It's so good. He says, but relative to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and our gathering together to meet him, we beg you, brethren, not to allow your minds to be quickly unsettled or disturbed or kept excited or alarmed. whether it be by some pretended revelation of the Spirit or by word or by letter, alleged to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has already arrived and is here. He's saying, don't be alarmed. What I'm telling you this morning is, whatever happens this year, whatever goes down, don't be alarmed. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Amen? Let me read to you, I'm almost done, because I'm just going to close in some scriptures. This is what Rick Renner, the Greek scholar, said concerning this scripture, and it is so good. Some things will be happening right before his coming that could shake you up quite a bit. I'm referring to events that will be so dramatic that they could really leave your head spinning. Occurrences of such a serious nature that many people end up feeling alarmed, panicked, intimidated, and even unnerved. Naturally speaking, these events could nearly drive you over the brink emotionally, putting your nerves on edge and making you feel apprehensive and insecure about life. I wish I could tell you these incidents were going to be just a one-shot deal, but when they finally get rolling, they're going to keep coming and coming one after another. That's what the Greek tense implies, not just a one-time event, but continually. That's why you have to determine not to be shaken or moved by anything you see or hear. Are you listening to me this morning, Harvest Church? You need to get a grip on your mind and refuse to allow yourself to be traumatized by these events. If you let these things get to you, it won't be too long until you're a nervous wreck. So decide beforehand that you're not going to give in and allow fright to worm its way into your mind and emotions until it runs your whole life. Boy, that's powerful. And that's where we're at right now. I'm a bottom line kind of guy. Just give me the bottom line. That's the bottom line. Now, let's end with a positive thing. You can write these scriptures down. I'm just going to read them to you because it'll save time. You're going to have to understand, even though you're a believer, in what's going to happen, you still have a responsibility. Say, I have a responsibility. I'm going to tell you what your responsibility is. Number one, delight in God's word. This is the scripture that came to me when Beth related this dream. Delight in God's word. Psalm 119, verse 143. Jot that down. Trouble and anguish have overtaken me, yet your commandments are my delight. Meaning, trouble's here. Doesn't make any difference. My nose is still in the book. Number two, seek God. Psalm 77, 2. In the day of my trouble. Did you notice it implies there is going to be a day? It's not if there's a day. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. I say it. I sought the Lord. That means to desperately seek or require of God. Number three, you need to call on God. I need to call on God. Psalm 50, verse 15. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. See, what's going to happen this year? Some things will go down, yeah. But you know, in the end, who gets all the glory? God does. Number four, this is the one that's so good. In fact, I'm going to have to read it to you. Let me find it. In 2 Thessalonians, and you'll like this one. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 3. As far as responsibility, delight in God's word, seek God, call on God, and here's the fourth one, rest in God. Say it with me, rest in God. Let me tell you something. This fits with what you said. If you're in works, there'll be no rest. If you're in grace, there's rest. Amen? Amen. 2 Thessalonians. And verse 3, it says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you abounds toward each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer, since it is a righteous thing that God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled," what? "Rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God." There's going to be some judgment. Amen. In the days ahead. And if we keep our hearts right, stay, you know, repent and cry out to God and seek him, you know, there's not going to be judgment for us, but I'll tell you what, there's going to be a judgment for the wicked. Amen. Now, look at your neighbor and say, take a break. That's what it's all about. Don't feel guilty about it. Okay, I'll close with this. This is God's responsibility when it comes to trouble. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Psalm 46:1, he'll help you. Number two, he'll hide you. Psalm 27:5, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide man in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me, he shall set me high upon a rock. Psalm 57:1 says, and in the shadow of your wings, this is, close your eyes. Listen to me say this. Just hear this scripture. Psalms 57:1. Meditate on it in the days ahead. And in the shadow of your wings, I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed by. That's good. I have that highlighted in my Bible. In other words, all you and I need to do, when there's a tornado, what do? Kiss your backside behind, goodbye, and that's what? Where do you go? To storm. So I'm just telling you, go to your spiritual storm cellar. Okay? Here's the next one. God will deliver you. Psalm 50:15, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. Number four, God is with you. Psalm 91:15, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. And then number five, God will revive you. Psalm 138:7, though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. In other words, that means revive means to live again, to become well, to flourish and to prosper. So when this is all done, what's going to happen? We're going to prosper more than ever before. So let's stand up. I thought that was interesting. Kathy told me, in fact, Rich listens to, help me, Rich, who do you listen to, the minister you like? Okay. What did he say? You must have told Kathy, or where did you hear it? You posted. What did he say? Okay, well, tell everybody what Jack Hibbs had to do. Okay, so I didn't know anything about Jack Hibbs, but he must be a good preacher. Amen? So, do you all know what to do now if you're in trouble? She said rest. That is good, just practical things, folks. Did you hear me? Is your mind still going, yeah, 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 yeah? Father, today we thank you so much for your word. That no matter what goes on in the world, we have your word. And God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. As he said, and shall he not do it, or as he spoken, and shall he not make it good. You'll watch over your word to perform it. So, Lord, today, the people of Harvest Church, they've heard your word. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Casting down vain imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. If God be for you, who can be against you? So know today, your God is for you. And no weapon formed against you shall prosper. But know this. There are many people that do not know this word that you've heard today. So it is your responsibility, it is your obligation to speak this word, not just to unbelievers, but to other believers who are in fear right now or will be in fear in the days ahead. But you have the solution. You have the answer. Jesus Christ, the living Word of God. So thank you, Father, the people of Harvest Church in the days ahead. They'll not be cowards. They'll not run from the giant. They'll not run from trouble, but they'll run to the enemy and put him in his place with the sword of the Spirit in hand. And so, Father, we're so grateful today for the Word. It's all about you, Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You are the Word, and your Word resides within us. And when we open our mouth, Lord, we speak gracious words that will have an effect upon the enemy. And so, Lord, we trust in you and lean not to our own understanding this day. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. I want to pray. Diane said that Lonnie's mom had another stroke. And so he's out there with the siblings, and they're with her. And so I want to pray for her. Did you say Sharon? Okay. Father, today, Lord, we pray for Sharon. They were pastors for many years, and so we thank you for your grace and mercy. Lord, you've healed and delivered her in the past. And so, Lord, we're thanking you for the Spirit of God to come upon her now, envelop her. Lord, we take authority over this stroke and any damage to her body. We speak, Lord, to her face in the name of Jesus, healing and health and supernatural recovery from this stroke in the name of Jesus. And you'll get all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Everyone here in here, a believer. Is everyone in here and in here? Lift your hands if Jesus is your personal Lord and Savior. Now, if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost and been filled with the Holy Ghost, you need to be for the days ahead. And guess what you're going to be studying in the Bible study? How to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so that's going to be a good Bible study. So get your faith out there and believe God for it. Is there anybody else that needs healing in your body? Healing. Two? Okay. Amen. What's that? Oh, shit, what's the deal? Okay, what's her name? Is this a friend? Okay. Well, let's pray. Did you hear this? Her friend is in ICU with lupus. She is a believer. She just received Christ not long ago or 2 years ago. Her name's Claudia. Father, in the name of Jesus, as the body of Harvest Church, we come in agreement for Claudia, in Jesus' name, we take authority over disease. We bind it up and loose healing and health over her. You sent your word to heal her and deliver her life from destruction. So, Holy Spirit, now come upon her. And we speak a healing word and a word of deliverance for Claudia this day in the name of Jesus. Lord, we're asking you for a miracle. We're asking you, Lord. You're a miracle-working God, and you said you'd confirm your word with signs and wonders. And so, Lord, we've preached your word today, and as she looks to you, I thank you, Jesus, that you reveal yourself not only as Savior, but as the great physician, the healer, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it this day in Jesus' name. Amen. We're all praying. That's a good thing. Lori, what's her? Well, I don't. There's a lot of Lori's. Four. Oh, my. When's this happening? Father, we lift up Lori, who's having this major back surgery. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord. By your Spirit, minister to her. We take authority over fear. We bind it up. And we lose faith and trust in Almighty God. We're asking you, Lord God, that you'll guide the hands of the surgeon, that he'll skillfully repair what needs to be repaired without any complications. In the name of Jesus, and a supernatural recovery for Lori this day, in Jesus' precious name, amen. I plead the blood of Christ over every family member of Harvest Church today, every child, every adult, every marriage, every relationship, every home. The blood, the blood, the blood. We overcome by the blood of Jesus and the word of our testimony. And all God's people said, amen. And all God's